less than 10 here in the sanctuary to be safe. So what an interesting feeling. Strange, really. If you want to stick with the theme, strange. Stranger things have never happened, it seems. It just feels so weird. In a time of global pandemic that we can't be together. See, here's the thing. As a body of worshipers, when we come together, when we worship together, when we pray together in Jesus' name, we have great power. That's why in a crazy situation like this, in which we have never seen before, it just seems so hard to be separated from one another. Because when a church comes together, that is when we are the most powerful. And that is because of you guys. The church, that is you guys. The church's ability to go out and create an impact, it isn't based on the ability of our pastors, on the ability of our staff. No, it's you guys. It comes from you. The impact of our church comes from you. Do not underestimate yourselves. You are the most important piece to this puzzle. The power of your prayer. You know, we've been singing a song and over the last couple months here at the church, and we just sang it a little bit ago. It's titled Sea of Victory. The bridge of that song, it goes like this. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. And we sing it several times. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good, God. You know, none of this is new to God. You know, he's not surprised at all. As a matter of fact, he's already been at work to restore all of this. Do you believe that? Every time the devil makes a move, God is already there, being the great redeemer, the fixer, the healer, the great physician that he is. And I'm not just talking about this week. No, we're not together physically as a large body, but God can still use this situation to advance his kingdom. Use this as a time to grow your faith, to disciple your families. Stay connected to the body of Christ, especially in a time of isolation. And I just want to say this. If this situation has you in a position where isolation seems like it's too much to handle, if you are in loneliness and despair and you just can't quite see out of your walls, our pastoral staff is here for you. We are one phone call away. We're one email away. We are here with you and for you, and we are in this together. So this whole situation, it leads me right into my message for tonight. This Lenten journey, we're talking about the miraculous works of Jesus, and there was plenty of them. On Sundays, we're talking about the miracles of Jesus. And on Wednesdays, we are talking about some of the stranger things that Jesus said. Now, in order for something to need a miracle, something has to be not quite right. There has to be an issue there. Now, the greater the issue, the greater the miracle, or at least our perception of it. The greater the issue, the greater the miracle. The greater the miracle, the greater God is glorified. Let me just say that again. The greater the issue, the greater the miracle. The greater the miracle, the greater God is glorified. So the first miracle, Jesus turns water into wine. Jesus shows us that his Father, our God, is a God of abundance. A great miracle. Jesus provides the wedding with an abundance of wedding cheer. Overall, maybe not his most radical miracle he performed, But with each miracle, we see Jesus, he takes it up another notch. So the next week, we looked into the story of Jesus healing the official's son. It's a story of great faith. This guy, he's seen the divine power in Jesus when he turned water into wine. And he asked him, "Can you heal my son?" His son, who is near death, and Jesus performs this miracle, and he takes it up another notch. Last Sunday, Brandon talked about the healing at the Pool of Bethesda as Jesus heals a man that has been lame and paralyzed for 38 years. And yet, the religious leaders, they were more concerned about the work being accomplished on the Sabbath, leaving us to ask who truly is the one in need of healing. On Wednesdays, then, we started talking about, in John 1, it is beautiful, yes. Strange, also, yes. John talks about how in the beginning, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, and all things were made through him, and then, in all his divinity, would then become flesh and blood and dwell among us. Then Pastor Randy did a Wednesday night message on Nicodemus, and in here Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And their response to this is, "How is this even possible?" But Jesus, he wasn't talking about a physical birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. Strange. Last week, our connections director, Amanda, laid out the story of the woman at the well, and Jesus has this conversation with the Samaritan woman and tells her that he is the well of living water, and he can truly satisfy. This week, Jesus says, by far, the strangest thing that he has said up to this point. He turns up the heat, we're going to say. So our first scripture today is John chapter 5, verse 19 through 22. You can open up your Bibles at home, follow along. The dialogue is right after the healing at the Pool of Bethesda. As they were heckling him about healing on the Sabbath, Jesus responds with, "As my Father is working, so am I." And the religious leaders straight out, they ask him, "Are you making yourself equal with God?" Jesus gave them this answer. "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he says his Father doing, only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." Remember, this is Jesus talking here. "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father." Just think of what their reaction would have been. Just completely appalled they must have been. "Who do you think you are to make yourself equal with God?" He says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life." Imagine the thought process here. So he made himself equal with God, but yet he's not God. He said he is God, yet not God. I mean, he's clearly fully human. I see him. He's right here. But yet divine? I mean, I've seen these miracles, but I don't know. There is so much confusion here as to who he is and who God is. I mean, are they separate? Are they equal? Are they the same? What in the world is going on here? And Jesus continues to push it even further by saying, "The Father judges no one but has entrusted that to the Son." Now, this is one of the largest claims of deity that Jesus makes, because the final judgment, That's an exclusive prerogative of God, or a power or a right that only God would have. But on top of that, just as much as you honor the Father, you will also honor the Son, he says. So here's the thing. They already do not like Jesus. Matter of fact, it already told us that they wanted to kill him already. And Jesus comes back with, oh, by the way, just as you honor the Father, you will honor the Son. And yeah, the Son, that's me. He didn't straight out say that, but that's what he was getting at. Just as you honor the Father, you will also honor me. Just as you worship the Father, you will also worship me. Just as you bow down to the Father, you will also bow before me. These religious leaders had to be furious, to put it lightly. There's a reason why they wanted to kill him so bad. The story just keeps on. I'm going to keep reading here. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. C.S. Lewis once wrote that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, the only thing left is he actually is the Lord of all. This very well could be one of those very situations. Jesus definitely takes it up the notch on the Stranger Things scale, flirting the line with Stranger Things, lunatic, and Lord of all. The time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Could you imagine if you were a part of this conversation? So are we talking like zombie apocalypse here? What's happening? I'm going to assume that you're laughing at home. There is two ways to look at this. The first is this. Jesus is pointing them to a final judgment day. A final day of judgment. I believe that day is coming. I don't believe we've seen it yet, but there will be a day in which Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead. But the other thing that Jesus is saying here in this is that a spiritual resurrection cannot wait until that day. Jesus says, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Now, don't be confused what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying, do good things, earn your spot in heaven. He's also not saying, don't do bad things to avoid going to hell. We are saved by grace alone. By putting our faith in Jesus, there is no amount of good deeds we can do to be saved. But instead, he's saying this. Good works function as evidence of true faith. And if good works are lacking, they show an absence of true faith. All those who truly believe will be brought from death to life. So when Jesus talks about the dead rising and coming out of their graves, he's not just talking about someday. He's talking about right now. He's talking about tonight. He's talking about an awakening of those who are spiritually dead to rise up, to come out of their graves, to leave their guilt behind. He's talking about a church that is on the move. He's talking about a church that is alive. He's talking about believers who are eager to spread the gospel. Worshippers who humbly bow themselves to his glory. Christians who have a faith that is contagious. I just couldn't quite help myself. Maybe that's not the word to use this week. But where does that leave me? Where does that leave me, Dan? You have me all pumped up, but we're still practicing social distancing, and I'm not quite sure what to do with this message. Well, for starters, as a church, we will not be canceling any of our services. So every Wednesday, every Sunday, we will continue to worship. We will continue to praise God and dive into his word. The only difference is you're going to be not here. You're going to be in your living rooms just like you are right now. I encourage you to attend every single Wednesday and Sunday. Here's the thing. Not everybody's church has the means and the ability to do live streaming. So another thing you can do is share the links. Share them with your family and your friends. In a time of such uncertainty, you might be surprised. Who says, maybe I need to check this faith thing out. Use these online worship experiences as an opportunity to fill your homes with prayer, with singing, with worship. What a great opportunity that you have to worship together as a family in your homes. Let the Holy Spirit come down upon your homes. Both our student ministries and our kids ministries are going to be providing, they're very proactive in creating meaningful family activities for you to take advantage of this God-given time that you have with your children. Like I said, what a great opportunity that we have to disciple them. Yeah, you kind of have a captive audience. They can't get away. I encourage you, folks, to pray with them, read the Bible with them, sing with them. Spend intentional time with them. Turn off all the devices. Turn off the media for a bit. Take advantage of this time that God has given. Though we can't meet together in a large group, but we still want to encourage you to connect with your legacy family, to connect with your church friends. Send them a message on Facebook. Send them a text message, give them a phone call, let them know, hey, I'm thinking about you, I miss you, I can't wait until we can worship together again. All of which grows the body of Christ. Another way to stay connected with the church is financially, to give, to support your church financially. It makes you a vital part of the mission of sharing the gospel. You know, about half of our giving, church-wide, about half of our giving comes in online already, which is outstanding. That's incredible. But that still leaves about half that typically comes in through our offering plates. And so we encourage you to set up your regular online giving or bring your offering to the church office during regular office hours. What that will do for you emotionally and spiritually, it'll help remind you that we are indeed connected. We are all one body of Christ, folks, and we are in this together. You know, even more so now in these uncertain times. Jesus, he wants you to rise up tonight, to come out of your grave, to experience true life, a life that comes from the Son. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we want to experience that life that comes from you alone. God, we thank you for this time that we have together to worship together, to gather as our families. From living room to living room to living room, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would just come down upon these families. That this time would be a time that we would look back on and just cherish. That we would look back on and we would say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to do this. God, you are so good. You are sovereign over all. And we put our trust on you, Lord God. Be with us this evening as we continue to worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I just want to remind you, as the worship team continues to lead us in our final couple songs of worship, we've got a couple more songs. If you would go to the giving section of our website, and that's a great place to give there. You may also come into the office as well and give in that way, in a physical sense, if you want to drop a check by the office as well. Again, it is such an honor to do ministry with you all, and I'm so grateful that you came out to worship, stayed in to worship this evening. Let's continue to worship together.